Anyway, Nebuchadnezzar decided he would build him an image, probably exalting himself. And you'll notice that the times of the Gentiles begins with the first ruler trying to unify religion. And the 13th chapter of the book of Revelation shows the last ruler endeavoring to unify religion. And he will kill many people because they won't comply. In the 13th chapter, the second beast will cause an image be made, and it will be set up. And now let's call attention to that image just a moment. In Matthew 24, about the 15th verse, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him that's on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house, and let him that's in the field not return back. Pray that your flight be not in the winter or on the Sabbath, and woe to them that give child or those that give suck in those days." And then he said, "Shall be great tribulation such as was not." Now, can you imagine what it was like, what it would be like right here in Kansas City if somebody could grab all power, set up an image and say, "Okay, everybody in Kansas City worship this image on penalty of death." You know what the results would be? There'd be a lot of people die. In Thessalonians 2, we read that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And then I just quoted from Revelation 13, where there will be an image set up, and from this in Matthew 24, 15, and from Thessalonians 2, and it will be set up in Jerusalem, in the temple. And in Daniel 11, we learn that the beast is going to, after he is attacked, he's going to set up his tabernacle in the holy city, or in Jerusalem. And that's what is pictured in type by this effort to unify religion. The abomination that maketh desolate. The word in the scriptures, as I have told you before, that is reserved for idols is an abomination. Remember the woman of Revelation? You often hear her called by the first name, an unchaste name, the mother of harlots, but I've never heard the last part of it emphasized, and abominations of the earth. Every idol, everything that people worship apart from God is an abomination. Now, if you were to pray to me, that's an abomination. It's something that is obnoxious and abhorrent to God. Like we might say to us, it stinks. I went to see a man one time. He was a Catholic, by the way. He was helpless. And he was just as independent as he could be. He wouldn't accept help. He couldn't get out of bed. I smelled him when I got out of the car in the street, and when I got in the house, I gagged twice. That's how badly it stunk. Domain. Now, of course, the authorities should step in and do something about it. But that's what stinks to God, and that woman is said to be the mother of abominations. And you may remember that Solomon built a building for the abomination of the Moabites and the abomination of the Ammonites, meaning their idol gods. And so you will see the abomination of desolation. It will make it desolate. God will not inhabit that temple with another god, another image. And then he said, let them flee to the mountains. It will be the time when the decree goes forth. Preceding that, the woman will have fled into the wilderness, according to Revelation 12, and the dragon goes to make war with the remnant of her seed that keep the commandments of God, and that's partly how this will be done. And they will flee to the mountains, and God will sovereignly take care of some of them. We learn from the 6th chapter of Revelation, and from the 20th chapter, and from the 14th chapter, and from the 13th chapter, and I think from the 15th chapter, that many of them will die a martyr's death. When dear old Polycarp was going to be martyred, he just thanked God profusely that God had given him the privilege of dying for the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be many die for him. And so he's going to set up an image now. After all, he was the head of gold, so he made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Now, I don't think that we can believe this to be solid gold of this height and this dimension. A cube of gold, 12-inch cube, weighs a little bit over 1,187 pounds. Pretty good weight, isn't it? And This is how I found that the candlestick in the tabernacle wasn't near as big as I thought it had been. 120 pounds of gold would be about 12 inches square and a little over an inch thick, about an inch thick, something like that. And so he set this up in a plane where it could be seen afar. And in a way, God chose to use this. Did you ever notice what strange things God uses? Like a donkey talking to Balaam. A couple of cows taken away from their calves and hooked to a cart, drove right off and left their calves. Totally different. Having a lion kill a prophet and wouldn't eat him, just left him. And we could point to many other interesting things. But God chose to use this. Nebuchadnezzar had the leaders from his empire. The princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Now, you see, you can bring up the question, this is history, this isn't prophecy. What's it doing here? Well, there's much prophecy or much history in prophecy, but I feel that God wants to show us a picture of the different ways that he's going to preserve people in the coming age, at the end of this age, I should say, like a remnant of the Jews. You remember, when thou passest through the fire, it shall not burn thee. When thou passest through the waters, they shall not overflow thee. And this is going to be a picture of this, and it's one of the great miracles. Unfortunately, the miracle of the furnace and of Daniel in the lion's den has become such a commonplace story that I feel that we fail to derive the benefits from it. But there are some real lessons here. And they came, they were gathered together, and there was an announcement made. To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages. What time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music. Now in this set of instruments, there are three of them that were Greek. And this is one of the reasons that the critics claim that the book of Daniel was written about 200 years before Christ and some later. We feel that Daniel himself wrote the book and he lived long before that. Now, just take this attitude about critics. Let them criticize. I heard a man say the other day of the story of the rich man and Lazarus, paradise and hell so close together, why he said mothers could hear their boys crying if the mother went to paradise and the boy went to hell. He didn't have enough sense to know that paradise isn't in the heart of the earth anymore. Go on and believe what God says. So he told them they must fall down and worship the image, and whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Seemed to have been two execution chambers, the furnace and the lion's den. When all the people heard the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, it didn't matter to them. The God was just a God to them. They had them everywhere. It's rather comical. In our day, with some people, there's a demon everywhere. You ever been around people like that? Had a policeman interested in the meeting I was in one time, pastoring, and he and I were talking, and there was a fellow standing there. I never cared much for him. And every time the policeman would say anything, that fellow would say, now that's a demon. And I never did see that policeman again. I say people like that have demonitis. People had demons of the doors, demons of the hinges, demons of the fields. You remember that when the Syrians attacked Israel one time and were bested, they said their God is a God of the hills, but he's not a God of the plains. Get him down the plains, we'll whip them. Well, it didn't matter too much to them. They had no conscience before God. Wherefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. This word accused is interesting. It means to eat one's pieces. Further, it means to slander, to eat the morsels of anyone, just to pick him to pieces and chew him up. They spake to Nebuchadnezzar, king, live forever. Just a little bit of flattery. O king, thou hast made a decree. They want to make it very pointed that these people haven't regarded him. And you can just hear jealousy talking, envy. They resented the fact that these men were put over the affairs of Babylon. They told the king exactly what he had said, and I imagine he was sitting there nodding his head. Now notice how they emphasize this. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They don't pay any attention to you. They serve not thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Making it very pointed, very specific, the accusation is very definite. And Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, you see a man that is never crossed, when he is crossed, he just goes to pieces. To bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, then they brought these men before the king. And I imagine he remembered Daniel. Did you ever wonder where Daniel was during this time? There are two theories that have been advanced. One of them is that he was away on business, and the other one was that Nebuchadnezzar regarded him as a god and didn't demand that he worshipped. Those are theories, very possible. But he was crossed, and notice his rage and fury. Now, there are times where you use tact, and there are times where you don't. He questioned them. He hated to kill them. They were able and capable men. I'll give you another chance. And then he challenged God in the last part of the 15th verse, "Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Let me see him do it. Who is the Lord? I know not the Lord, neither will I let the children of Israel go." I wrote in my Bible right above that, "That's what you think." Of course, that's what he thought. And so they answer, "We are not careful to answer thee in this matter." You know, they could have thrown just a little compromise. Shadrach could have said to Meshach, "Now listen, fellas, that image, well, let's kneel. Let's save our lives. I don't like to be burned in the fire." But then if they had, we wouldn't have the third chapter of Daniel, would we? Only you can decide on all courses of action in your life. But unless there is a stand made with God, there won't be a testimony. "If so be our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Three champions. To them it was turn or burn, and they decided, if necessary, to burn. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember, Jesus' visage was marred. And I could imagine that every bit of fury, he was defied, and he was defied before all of his leaders, and he couldn't let this pass. He commanded that they should heat the furnace 1/7 times more than it would want to be heated. And the most mighty, the most able men in his army, to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I imagine they weren't very gentle in the matter, to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats and their hosen and their hats and their other garments and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Now, there's not a drop of edification in this, but this is the only place the word hats occurs in the Bible. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" They answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like unto the Son of God." Now, I used to puzzle over what Nebuchadnezzar knew about the Son of God. It should have been translated like a son of the gods. I wanted to read this in Isaiah 43:2 that I quoted a part of it a moment ago. "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." That was God's promise to Israel. Now, we can call your attention to many times when God let his people die in various ways. And I do not know why God delivers one and doesn't deliver another, but I know that he does deliver, and we can all point to deliverances from poverty, from illnesses, from predicaments, from many things in life that he has delivered us from. I was never delivered from a fire. I was moving one time, and I was up coming in from the south, and I had a heavy trailer on the car, and it was getting dark, and it dawned on me I didn't have a light. And I kicked up to about 75 miles an hour. There was no speed limit then. And it was misting rain, and I came over a hill, and I'd gotten just far enough north, it had begun to freeze. And when I hit that ice, I just started like this. The speed I was going inside of me, I said, "This is it." And then just as suddenly as it started swaying, the car straightened out. And I've considered that was a real miraculous deliverance. But anyway, we could all point and relate to things similar. I've been in planes when I thought we were going to crash for sure. It's a scary feeling. A man that thinks that he can't get scared, I don't think he's a man. Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Now when they went back to their countries and their various abodes, what do you think they told about? You will read in history many times where God, not many times, but times when God made it where there would be a big testimony. Now like in the days of Joseph, there was a famine that reached far and wide. And God put a man in charge of that situation that was a very godly man, Joseph. And all the world went to Egypt to get corn. And when God was delivering Israel from Egypt, he said to Pharaoh, for this cause have I raised thee up, that I might make my name known. And did you know that 300 years later, in the days of Samuel, when the children of Israel took the Ark of the Covenant into the camp of the Philistines, got scared. They said, these be the gods that, I'm not quoting it verbatim, but they make such havoc in Egypt. That was 300 years before. And God wants his name known so men will get saved. And they said to God, has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies. Now I feel that this angel was the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times in the scriptures, you'll find an angel that is called Jehovah, called Elohim, Adonai, but still he's called an angel. And in the book of Malachi in the third chapter, we read of the angel of the covenant. An angel doesn't refer to person, but to office. Men or heavenly beings are equally called angels. Just it's a man, or it's a personality with a message, whether it be from heaven or earth. And God sent his son, Jacob called the angel with whom he wrestled, I have seen God face to face. And the angel of the Lord appeared to a bush, or in a bush, in Exodus 3, and he is very freely called Jehovah. Only one being in the universe carries that name. By one being, I mean the deity, the triune God. Now, Nebuchadnezzar spoke. Now, God has spoken to Nebuchadnezzar the second time. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel, delivered his servants, that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their God. And I just imagine he was kind of wilted. Who is that God that can deliver you out of my hand? They could have wanted, had they wanted to, it wouldn't have been wise perhaps. Now he doesn't get converted here, but he makes a decree. Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, language, which speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this manner. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And as these men went back home, you can imagine, well, how did things go in Babylon? Well, went as usual, but let me tell you something. We saw something that was different. We've learned that there is a God that has power over fire. There was in history, there was a contest made of the nations, with one nation had the God of fire, and they would challenge anybody else with their God, and naturally he either melted or burned up all of the gods. And the wily Egyptians took their God that was made out of wood and bored him through little tiny holes and stopped them up with wax. And then they filled him full of water. They put him in the fire. The fire melted the wax. The water came out and quenched the fire. Their God won over the fire.